Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our guest a Democratic candidate for mayor of Providence, the president of the city council, Michael Solomon. Thank you for joining us, Michael.
Good morning.
The Democratic primary for mayor of Providence has become red hot. Brett Smiley dropped out last week and threw his support to Jorge Elorza. And this week, our guest, Michael Solomon, held a news conference to respond to the claim that Elorza is the best hope for beating Buddy Cianci in the November election. Council President Solomon, give us your elevator pitch. Why are you the guy to take on Buddy Cianci rather than Jorge Elorza?
Ian, I have the experience. I'm the guy who's cleaned up Buddy's mess from 20 years ago. When there was pension reform that had to be done, when they were giving out these unfunded, they were not funding the pension system properly. It was the city council that put ordinances to fully fund the pension system. The compounded COLAs that Buddy Cianci had given out back in his days. We were the ones that eliminated those things. And we continue to clean up the mess in City Hall. And we've made City Hall more transparent in the last 3 years than ever before. So I think with my experience and the things that we've done, I'm better qualified to take on Buddy Cianci.
Well, Council President, I did notice that you released a poll the other day that showed that you actually had a better chance of defeating Buddy Cianci. However, I'm taken aback by one thing. The fact is that the poll showed Cianci beating Elorza 38-31%, with 6% for Harrop, 26% undecided. Harrop's the Republican, of course. And it showed you 36-35%. So aren't these numbers relatively close and we haven't had the Smiley departure really sink in yet? It looks to me like there's not a huge difference between your candidacy and that of Jorge Elorza.
I think, Scott, if you look at the demographics, you would agree with me that we do have the best chance to beat Buddy Cianci.
Maureen, how do you see Michael Solomon and Jorge Elorza stacking up?
Well, I think right now it's a very close race. It's got to be, because we know, for example, if you look at Angel Taveras, his path to victory was the Latino vote as well as the East Side. And that's got to be, you know, a considerable coalition. However, Mr. Solomon has a considerable support. My question to you is, it's not about Buddy Cianci. It's about you being able to hold on and move this city forward. That, to me, is the question. There's always something happening. Stuff happens. And you could ask Angel Taveras about that. What's your response to that?
And I totally agree with you. And obviously, I have the experience. We've made the tough decisions over the last 4 years. And I've stood there with Mayor Taveras moving the city forward. I mean, the first day I got elected council president, the same day Angel got sworn in as mayor. And you know that story. We're facing a $110 million structural deficit. Immediately, we had to tackle that problem. If we did nothing, the city would have went bankrupt. So it was important that we did the things that we did. But my record proves that we're problem solvers. We see a problem and we solve those and we solve them.
You've got problems down the road.
Speaking of problems, Michael Solomon, you also spoke during your news conference this week about how you're the subject of a state ethics commission probe. The complaint centers on a lack of disclosure about a six-figure 1987 city loan received by a partnership of which you are a limited partner. You apologized and said you should have been more careful with your ethics filings, but you also described this matter as being overblown by your political rivals. This loan was issued 27 years ago. Why hasn't it been paid off, even with ups and downs in the real estate market?
And you've been there. You know the story, and I've explained it time and time again. That loan was given out in 1988. It was awarded to one of two. Actually, there was two that were awarded that year. And the purpose of those loans were to spur economic development and create jobs. And that loan did that. We created jobs and we spurred economic development. And I said it time and time again. Westminster Street was a ghost town. You could roll a bowling ball down Westminster Street and you would hit no one. Look at Westminster Street today. And we've gone through three recessions, but I've stayed committed to that loan, mortgage, or whatever you want to call it. And we continue to pay on it, and I'm committed to paying on it, and we're fulfilling the terms of that loan.
How long will it be before the loan is fully retired?
This year alone, we reduced it by $50,000. And I will tell you, I have not realized 1 cent from this project. But I stayed committed to it. I could have walked away from it. I didn't. I stayed committed to it, and I'm committed to paying this loan off.
Let's go to Maureen.
My question about that is, this was vetted in the paper about 4 weeks ago, and there was a long story that talked about the failures in terms of the structure of the loan and so forth. And your rivals didn't say peep about it then. It was never criticized then. All of a sudden now they're raising this is the issue, that the reason why you shouldn't be elected. What happened in between?
Well, I think they realized that I'm the only one that has experience to move the city forward. They don't have that experience. So they have to pick on something else because they don't have the experience and they don't have the track record of moving Providence forward. And I think that's the difference between myself and my opponent.
Let's go to Scott.
What do you say, Michael, about the criticism I've heard from people that you can put hundreds of thousands of your own money into your campaign but not pay off this loan?
Scott, we are paying off this loan. We are fulfilling the terms of the loan. It's a business deal, and we're fulfilling the terms of that loan. I mean, we were put there to create jobs and spur economic development, and that's what this project has done. It's created jobs and spurred economic development. I mean, just take a look down Westminster Street. It's beautiful. I mean, it's thriving, and that we were one of the first pioneers for downtown living on Westminster Street. I'm proud of that.
The three main Democratic candidates for governor, Clay Pell, Gina Raimondo, and Angel Taveras, squared off during a televised debate this week. Each of the candidates pointed to their record and experience in calling themselves the best choice to move Rhode Island forward. Michael Solomon, we know you must be backing Angel Taveras, who you've worked with as a partner at City Hall. How do you see the outlook for him in a race where he is seen as facing some challenges, particularly not having as much money as he would like to get his message out in the waning weeks of the campaign?
Well, anytime you run for municipality, for a statewide office, for governor, and Scott knows this, it's a challenge. It's always a challenge because you're running a municipality. But I think he's done a good job. He's still in the race. I mean, it's a heated race. I mean, from the numbers that I'm looking at, and I think his experience as an administrator, chief operating officer of the city of Providence, that qualifies him to run for governor.
Scott, what was your read on how the candidates fared during this WPRI Providence Journal debate?
I thought they all did pretty well. I think that Raimondo and Taveras were more specific and projected much better how they are going to approach the job. Clay Pell did get in a couple of good zingers. I thought he was better than he was. He's come a long way since he announced. But still, you know, I think with a lot of people, he doesn't look like he's ready to be governor.
How about you, Maureen? What did you think?
I tend to agree. I thought Gina Raimondo came off very well. I think Mayor Taveras is in a difficult situation because while Gina could stay above the fray, he's got to fight back in terms of Clay Pell. I personally thought Clay Pell looked a little unhinged. I really think he's peaked. We know from the data that his support is soft. I think he'll do okay, but I think now it really comes down to the mayor and Gina Raimondo.
In other news this week, State Education Commissioner Deborah Gist put her support behind extending a state moratorium on using high-stakes testing as a graduation requirement until 2020. Maureen, do you think this is a setback for public education?
You know, I do, in the sense that when are we ever going to get there? I buy the argument that everybody has to be on the same page, that they have to get used to this new Common Core and the testing. But my concern is there's no real deadline in the sense that if it doesn't count, I know for my students, they blow it off. So I'm a little concerned that putting it off this long is going to change the whole dynamic, and maybe we're going to be moving backwards.
Scott, Commissioner Gist denied there was even a whiff of politics about this, and speaking with our own Elizabeth Harrison, what do you say?
Obviously, this is political. I think basically what the commissioner's done is bow to the will and the reality of the General Assembly, which, of course, voted to push off the kneecap rules. And there's still a very big debate among education professionals about whether or not high-stakes testing should be linked to diplomas. And it's an ongoing debate. We're going to have that in this state. It's going to be interesting to see how it works out.
Quickly, Michael Solomon, do you support this move to extend this moratorium on high-stakes testing?
Absolutely. And I've said this from day one. If a student's not able to take that test or they're flunking that high-stakes test in the 11th grade, it's not something that they didn't learn in the 9th grade or the 10th grade. This stems back to early years. So we need to make sure early intervention, and we're preparing our students. And I think this gives them an opportunity to stop preparing our students from an earlier age.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Providence mayoral candidate Michael Solomon.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.